It's a little bit different. If you're new with us this morning, welcome. We're going through the book of the Minor Prophets. We're going through the whole Minor Prophets. We just finished Obadiah. We'll be going into Jonah next Sunday. But we wanted to take a break. And traditionally, what we do is in September, we talk about where we're going. We talk about what God has kind of laid on our hearts as a church, as a vision, His expression here in the county of His church, and that we're a part of that, and what does He have for us. So in September, we laid out a few things, talked about the discipleship experience, and we talked about what would it mean for a multiplication movement for churches to be planted through Kitsap. And real quick, we'll be touching on these numbers again, but there's 80% of people within Kitsap County, according to the 2010 census, that have no religious affiliation at all. That means that they don't ascribe to anything, not a cult, not Christianity, not anything. And that number to us, it's kind of disturbing, but at the same time, we think, what a great opportunity that we have here. And so we're going to talk about where we're at and what's going on as it relates to the discipleship experience and to church planting and what that looks like. And we haven't really said much from September till now because there wasn't anything at the time. There was only a passion, a vision, and we just needed to move on it. So there have been lots of conversations. There have been lots of meetings, been lots of prayer. And maybe if you follow social media or you're on Facebook or Instagram and Twitter, you might have seen some of the different things that have taken place that hopefully will give some scope and context to what we're going to talk about this morning. But my hope is that this morning we'll be able to do it justice as to what the Lord is doing as Calvary Chapel here and as it moves to the larger mission of the church. So growing and planting, it's this idea that we've been here as a church for some time, but we continue to grow. We've never arrived. We've never fully culminated everything. We haven't, you know, hit the pinnacle or the zenith that now we can just sit back and do nothing. No, the work of Christ is He's faithful to complete it until the day that we see Him face to face. So it's ongoing. And then there's this idea of planting, this idea of a seed that really is insignificant. It can't nourish you. It can't help you. In fact, if you swallow a seed, it'll probably give you indigestion. But if that seed is put into the ground and it's cultivated and it's nurtured, the seed actually dies, and then it grows and it produces and it becomes something that is beneficial, helpful, and necessary. And so, like us, as we allow the Lord, as we die to ourselves, so the Lord brings something up beautiful and wonderful and great. As we deny ourselves, as we pick up our cross and we follow Him, which Jesus said is the cost of discipleship. And what I wanted to do before we kind of launch too far into this morning is I wanted to bring up just three verses that I think have continually guided us in our journey up to this point. One in particular is Jeremiah 29:7. This isn't one that we just kind of came across this last year, but it's something that's been informing us as we move forward. Jeremiah 29:7 says also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And this was the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, to the people in Israel who were going into exile into Babylon. So these people were being crushed, they were being destroyed, they were being captured, and they were being led off into a country and a nation that is not their own. And the Lord told them, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city in which you are going. And that word, that phrase, peace and prosperity, if you were to look at the Hebrew, it would be the word shalom. Seek the shalom of the city. And shalom isn't just a peace, but it is a repairing of a ripped or broken fabric. If we think about our clothes, if there's a hole, there's a tear, that shalom would be the reparation and the wholeness brought back to a particular garment. And this is what God exhorts these people going into exile to do for their community. And I think it's not far to say that this is what Jesus did in and amongst the community as he walked and lived and healed and blessed and spoke and taught. And he says, follow me. Disciple means learner. And it also has a connotation that you're recreating someone to follow in those footsteps. And so it's this idea of healing and wholeness and peace and being led into the community to bring that about. Then we see Jesus as he looked at the crowds. We read this a while ago, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through 38. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said, that is Jesus, to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. This is something that we put on a bookmark and we pass them out. And we say, put them where you're going to see them every day. And we want to pray together corporately as a body that the Lord would raise up workers to send them into his harvest because the opportunity here is so great. And lastly, if you've been in the church for any length of time, this might be really familiar to you. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And this is really interesting when we look at, I have some friends been having conversations about this particular verse, and I'm not a Greek scholar by any means or stretch of the imagination. But in our conversations, for them who they have been studying Greek, and particularly even in this particular passage, this idea of having to go make disciples, it's one of those things where it's a slight, words matter, do they not? Sometimes we look at this and we think like this is just a checkbox. Oh, I have to go make a disciple. And then after we've made the disciple, we move on. But yet the context here of which Matthew is saying is go disciple the nations. That this is an ongoing thing. That this never stops. That he has put us here as we follow him to bring others that they might follow him. So this idea of discipling the nations, it's a subtle but different context and one in which it's no longer, hopefully, something that we have to produce or something that we have to work at in that somehow we created ourselves, but it's this relationship that we engage in over the process of our life, wherever the Lord has us. So I just wanted to bring these few verses to mind as we talk about this morning, the different things that we initiated here in September. So with that, let's go before the Lord this morning. Father, we see your word and we are moved and we are cut to the heart. That you have called us a unique people to be in and amongst our community. And Lord, it is truly only by your grace that we know you. That is not a work of our own, but it is a moving of your Spirit in and amongst our lives. And Lord, we know that the Holy Spirit is convicting our community of sin and righteousness and judgment. And that the gospel is the power that you have given unto salvation. For under no other name can one be saved except by Jesus. And so would you guide us this morning into what you are leading us into as an expression of your church in this county. Lord, I feel that we are on the precipice. I feel that there's going to be a watershed moment here where you are going to change the landscape of our community. Thank you that you saw fit to have us here at this time and in this place to move forward out in this work that you would be glorified. For it's your purpose, it's your glory. Lord, we ask for you to have your way, and we give this time to you. All of God's people said, amen. So in looking at where we're going, I always love to think about what God has done. I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but I think it's important. And if you're new, It might be helpful to kind of know some of the journey that we've been on. And in 2014, Pastor Dave and I did a leadership transition. God's hand was in this. It is still in this. At this time, amongst Calvary Chapels, Calvary Chapel is a fairly new church movement. Happened in the late 60s, early 70s. And so you have these first generational pastors that are transitioning now as we come up on 2020. Many years of faithful service, and they find themselves, okay, how do we do this transition? And as a young movement, it has not always gone well. But we are grateful to find out, to hear, to be encouraged by those who were looking at us as we're going through this transition, that at that point, this had been the best transition that they had seen within Calvary Chapel up to that moment, up to that time, to which we're just so grateful for. I think it speaks a lot just to the heart of Pastor Dave and his desire for the Lord's renown and goodness and this church and you and how he's pastored and loved and wants to continue to see it go. And his heart is to see us succeed and to continue to move forward. So it truly is a blessing. In 2015, we prayed and sought the Lord and really took a whole year to develop what we call the Kitsap School of Ministry. This was a bridge, if you will, in that we feel that God has put things on our hearts. We feel that God has given us vision and direction, but we can't necessarily put everything down and pursue Him through seminary or Bible college because we have family, we have commitments, we have responsibilities. And it's not something that we can all just put away. So what we did was we sought to make something that was attainable and feasible and have an opportunity for practitioners and pastors and leaders and gifted individuals to come and to train and equip those who enroll for further and greater ministry. And we started off, I believe, with 6 students, which we thought, man, that was a win, and some dropped out. But over the course of 2 years, it's a 2-year program, we graduated last year, 2018, 3 students, which we were like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Right now we have 9 enrolled. We have 15 instructors from different churches participating, from PBF, from Grace Point. We have a new instructor coming from Keyport Bible, from Trinity Bible Fellowship. So there are multiple churches, multiple leaders, multiple really gifted individuals speaking into this. And we have students that are from other churches as well. So we're excited that the desire to create an ecumenical, a multi-church effort, that it's not about, hey, come over to us, but we want to truly build up the body of Christ, to equip the body to work, to complete the work that God has laid on people's hearts and see it come to fruition. So we launched that, again, 2-year program, graduated first class in 2018. And then in 2017, it was this Jeremiah 29:7 verse that caused us to develop what we're calling Love the Neighborhood and going into these marginalized communities, these poor communities to love and to encourage and to build them up. And that's a process that's continuing to go. But we're also seeing collaboration come now from other churches, which we're really excited. That was the initial push. But with something new, it's been difficult for some to wrap their minds about what this looks like. And we didn't even really know what it looks like. We're just like, let's just go do it. And as we have just loved and tripped and fell but built relationships, we've started to see pathways where it's much easier for others to come alongside. So your love and your effort and your prayer and your giving has not returned void. But the Lord continues to use it to establish and build those relationships and sow the peace of God into the community of Bremerton. So these are just some of the things. And again, I have like 5 minutes to give to this because there's so much more. But this is just a little bit of what God has been doing. I love the magazine. It's a great place to go to and just kind of read up and see everything that's happening. So I encourage you to connect with that. Now, growing. Part of this, too, is just to let you know where we're at as a church, to be responsible. Weekly average attendance, we're up 20% over 4 years, which is great. We give thanks to that. Even baptisms, we're seeing more of those, which is fantastic. Last year, we paid off the mortgage to this property, so we are debt-free because of the Lord's goodness and graciousness. Giving for this fiscal year, we're down 17%, but we're right on target with spending of where we need to be. And 10%, we're at a point now, too, where 10% of our annual budget is given to missions, not only foreign, but locally here. And we feel like this is something we wanted to do initially, and it took us a few years to get to this point, but we're excited to be able to do that. Another opportunity as well, this wasn't necessarily planned, but God and His timing. I know that Christy Haynes is listening right now. She's in England. She's our missionary in England. So Christy, I'm going to ask you to turn down your volume. Thank you. No, a little bit more. Okay. So Christy's car just blew up last week. It caught on fire, or just this last week. It caught on fire, and it's totally dead. We have discussed as a leadership team, we want to help her with this. And so we wanted to create an opportunity for you, if you wanted to help contribute to for a car to get her around. She uses her car every day, working for YWAM in Derby, England. She is the house mom. She is an administrator. She does so much there. We looked online and we found some reasonably used cars, but ones that would do it well. They're about £7,000 to £8,000. That translates to like $13,000-$14,000. So if that's something that's on your heart, if God has been moving and you're like, oh man, what do we do with this? Here's an opportunity that might be available. You can just put it in the offering box over there. But just wanted to let you know there's an opportunity to help Christy. And if it's on your heart, we'd love to supplement whatever we give as a body to be able to help her to do that. So if that's on your heart, just want to let you make known the opportunity. So that's kind of the nitty-gritty as we kind of come through halfway through the year. And now we're coming to growing and how we're growing. And this is much of what Alicia shared this week and what Bob shared last week, and that is this discipleship experience. And this experience is one that we're seeking to be intentional about discipling and coming together. The last service, it was kind of just in the moment, and I want to do it now too. And I just want to ask a question, and if it applies to you, feel free to raise your hand. If you're a bit nervous, that's okay. You don't have to. But is there anybody here who's been walking with the Lord for 10 years or less? Would you just raise your hand? Anybody? 1, 2, 3. Okay. 4, 5. All right. Got some last minute additions. Right on. Thank you for like breaking the ice. I know that that's not always easy. Has anybody been walking with the Lord for right around 15 years, give or take a couple years? 15? One back there around the corner, a couple right there, back there. All right. 20. 20? Yeah. 20. All right. 30? Do we have 30? Do I hear 30? Do we have 30? Go 30. Do I got 30? Man. All right. 40. Come on. 40. We got 40? 40. Okay, just a few years around. 40. Okay. 45. We have 45. 45? Do I have 45? Okay. 50. Do we have 50? 50. I have not seen Edith raise her hand yet. Do we have 60? Do we have 60? 60. Thank you, sir. 70. 70? Woohoo! We got one up. Tyler, did you raise your hand at 70? Is that okay? Good. People, 70 years. Woo! The books we could write for what Jesus could teach one individual in 70 years, let alone 50, let alone 40, let alone 30, and even 10. And here's the thing, church, we are so blessed to have such deep and rich relationship with Jesus over long periods of time. And let me tell you, as one where I am maybe 20, 22, 23, 24 years in the Lord, I need a voice into my life and walking with Jesus. And you know where it comes from? It comes from you. And we need this relationship to encourage one another, to build one another up. For those who've been walking with the Lord for some time, to pour into the younger. And I know what the conversation goes. I don't know if I'm quite ready. You know what? We're never ready. But do you love Jesus? Yes, done. Qualified. Right there. Have you made mistakes? Absolutely. Guess what? That doesn't disqualify you. That actually makes you even more qualified. Are you pursuing him today? Yes. Lock, sold. And I don't know if you guys know this, but when you raise your hand, you sign yourself up. I'm just saying, that's what it was. We got you on camera. But here's the thing. We can't discount the work of God in our lives as it relates to walking with others. And you may not feel like you have much to give, but church, let me tell you, God does no small thing. And you would never look at somebody else and say, oh, God's work is invalid in them. God can't really use them. So why do we say that about ourselves? And so church, this is for everybody. It is 9 months. It's for those who are mature in Christ, those who are young in Christ, those who have no faith, or you're questioning and you don't know. And you might be like me, where I'm like, okay, I've pursued the Lord now for 24 years, and I'm not quite sure if I'm ready yet. But you know what? I know I can help somebody who's just starting out. I know I can encourage somebody who just has come to faith. So maybe I'll sign up and I'll encourage those who have just come to faith. And then you know what? I need somebody who's been walking with Jesus for 30, 40, 50 years. I need someone who's been a dad, who's been a husband, who's been an employer and an employee. I need that because I can't do this alone. I didn't even ask for one. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Don't get carried away. Church, I learned of a story just yesterday, or this week, rather. This is Shalane Flanagan. You may know who she is, you may not. But she is the first American woman to win the New York City Marathon in 40 years. Now, that is impressive. But that's not the most impressive thing about her. I want to read just a couple paragraphs from a New York Times article for when Shalane won. Shalane won in such a way that now they're talking about her lifestyle, her approach to this professional sport as the Shalane effect. When Shalane Flanagan won the New York City Marathon last week, her victory was about more than just an athletic achievement. Of course, it's a remarkable one. She's the first American woman to win in 40 years, and she did so in a blistering 2 hours and 26 minutes. But perhaps Flanagan's bigger accomplishment lies in nurturing and promoting the rising talent around her, a rare quality in the cutthroat world of elite sports. Every single one of her training partners, 11 women in total, has made it to the Olympics while training with her. An extraordinary feat. They're calling it the Shalane effect. You serve as a rocket booster for the careers of women who work alongside you while catapulting yourself forward. Shalane has pioneered a new brand of teen mom to these young up-and-comers with the confidence not to tear others down to protect her place in the hierarchy. Said Lauren Fleshman, who became a professional runner in the early 2000s, around the same time Flanagan did. Shalane's legacy is in her role modeling, which women in every industry would like to see more of. This is discipleship. This is coming alongside those that would engage in relationship and propelling them forward. As we are seeking Jesus, we do it together. And there will be those things that maybe that we have gone through that we can just impart. And even if it's to say, don't do what I did. But let's seek the Lord together. We're not expecting to have all the answers. But we know who to go to who does and who will provide a way. And so when we look at this, there might be those that are willing to enter in as being disciples and being discipled, and those who are disciple leaders, discipling others. And for you leaders, there are two coaches in Bob Contreras and Alicia Glauser who will walk with you, who will check in with you, that you're not alone in this. And I just want to let you know, mark on your calendars, there's an informational meeting on January 26th. That's a Saturday. It's at 10 a.m. We're going to talk about the overview. We're going to talk about the format. And we're going to launch this in February. And so I just want to encourage you, if you feel that need, if you know that you need that someone to walk along with, or you need to pour into somebody else, it's both and, please sign up. It's for all of us. Now, that's the discipleship experience in a nutshell. Again, I too want to turn you to this flyer. It's got a lot of information in there that breaks it down. But again, come to that meeting on January 26th. There's signups in the foyer as you leave this morning. And so we have growing and then we have planting. And this, I think, you know, I say it's something new, but truly this is what Calvary Chapel has been about from the beginning, is planting. But yet we haven't seen so much of it lately. And when I say planting, please don't hear me and think that I mean another worship service. We're not, there's already a Calvary Chapel Silverdale. We don't need another one. There's already a Grace Point. There's already a Peninsula Bible Fellowship. There's already a New Life. There's already a Silverdale United Methodist. My conviction, we don't need to plant another worship service. What we need to see is the mission, the gospel, go out, transform lives, and see the church come out of that. We're not about shuffling chairs. Now, I understand that sometimes we walk in church and things happen because we're people and there's sin and there's hard hearts. And so we need to leave and we need to come to a place that we can grow. That is legit. I believe that's why God creates the church to be so wide and varied. But hear me out. We're not looking to plant something that is just a replication of what's already taking place. But what we're going to see here in a moment, you'll see a map. And there'll be dots of churches. And it might sound impressive to say that there are 200 churches or campuses in Kitsap. But the reality is that there's still over 80%, 8 in 10 people who have no connection, no, they don't believe in the gospel. And this is the opportunity that we have before us. And it doesn't make sense for us to take Calvary Chapel Silverdale and make Calvary Chapel Silverdale /CBEC. Or Calvary Chapel Silverdale Port Orchard. Or Calvary Chapel Silverdale Bremerton. We're actually Calvary Chapel Silverdale Paulsbo, but don't tell anybody. Our physical address is Paulsbo, but Calvary Paulsbo is cool with it, so we're good. We're not bringing up old stuff. But this is what we want to do, and we're not going to go about it alone. We have Calvary Global Network that is out of Costa Mesa. Brian Broderson, Kellen Criswell runs Calvary Global Network. He and I are having great conversations about what this might look like. Stadia Church Planning, which is a local church planning organization here in Washington. They're in Bellevue. And Pacific Northwest Church Planning Movement. This is brand new. We are on the cusp. We are a part of this. The idea is that we create a cohort here in Kitsap, that we have autonomous churches coming together to see other churches come about and flourish and succeed. Can you imagine what that would look like for the body of Christ to come together in unity, according to John 17, where Jesus prayed that we would be unified, not necessarily in service and not necessarily in our formats, but in our heart and in our vision and the mission of the gospel, to come together and see churches come about that are missionally minded, looking to see the church and the expression of it come about out of the area where it is. And this is the heart to see this. So we have multiple churches coming together. There are missional leaders being raised up, and there are resources. So being a part of the Pacific Northwest Church Planting Movement, we are committing $1,000 just one time to kind of put aside that we're putting aside in our account. We're holding on to this. And then we haven't decided when yet. But what we're committing to is once a year, just one service a year, do an offering that will pass the plate around. Now, hold on. If you've been a part of Calvary, you might be like, whoa. We have gone apostate. We are passing the plate around. It's okay. But the idea is that as we take a general offering once a year, and that we put this along with that $1,000, and every church that's in this cohort commits to this, that then those resources are available for new church plants, for training for church planters. Pacific Northwest Church Planting Movement, it's a new thing. They were just granted through Whitworth College there in Spokane $1 million grant. And this $1 million is to help in training missional leaders to eventually go out and to plant. And so it's not ever going to be enough to start a church, but it's that little seed money that's there to help them get started, or to go to a particular conference to get the tools and the networking capability to be able to be more successful. But there's a bit of skin in the game, if you will. But the idea is relationship. And we'll, again, I've got a little neat little chart that will help illustrate this. But the idea is relationship in that we're growing together. We're not seeing a church and they go, okay, guys, see you later, have a good time. But the leadership, the people, they're together. In this, we want to create something called the resident church planter. And just like when you think of a residency, this is the same idea. They have the education, they have the knowledge, they have what it needs to make happen, but they need the context of a church. Bible college, seminary can't teach you what it is to live and walk and work and be with people and see the gospel take effect in multiple lives and in different ways. You need the body to be able to do that. So a church resident would come alongside and they would learn that before going out. And it's all done in relationship. Talking about the church plant residency, that we would get word out to people to let them know what we're trying to recruit and what we're trying to do. Real quick, this last week, John Carter did a great job. I said last weekend, I'm like, John, we got to do this. I want this ready for that. And so we did some rough shots, and John put it together and makes it look beautiful like he always does. But I want to play for you what will be, this is a rough draft. This isn't going to go out, but I wanted to kind of give a rough draft as to what we want to do to be able to promote this particular resident. Woo! So these residents, they would be assessed by Stadia. We're going to create a mechanism for them to apply, for us to engage them. Stadia has their own assessment tools and processes, and we'll get away for a week, and they'll ask all the right questions and get to know them and who they are as a leader. And then we'll have a bunch of information to be able to kind of know what type of leader they are and where their strengths lie and where their weaknesses are and be able to help them build a team. And most importantly, they're going to have high-level access. We're going to allow them to shadow me and shadow our staff and lead at points and create and develop at other points that they would learn. We're going to encourage them to spend 10 to 20% of their time in the area that they're going to plant to meet people, to know that they can share the gospel and that they understand the context that they're going to be in. And that we would see the church come out of that context. Again, not just planting another service. They're going to be responsible for raising their own support, 60% to 100% of what they need to be here and to be in that residency. And depending on kind of what they're gifted and what they can do, and if they can help the church out, then we'll supplement some of that and bring them on staff. But the idea is that they're going to go out. But they will need to raise their own support. And part of the other requirement is that they're going to have to raise up and go plant with another planter. That they're going to, as they launch, that they're going to have a planter with them, that they're going to be in residency for up to a year to 2 years, and then they're going to plant. And so you can see the exponential factor of this. And here's my hope, church, is that we bring in a resident, And they become a part of us. We love them. We are loved by them. We are excited for them. We know that we're going to send them out. It's maybe a lot like your own children, hopefully, right? My dad told me, Pete, I love you guys. I love your mom more because you're going to leave and we're going to kick you out. And so we just knew that. We knew that we were going to be pushed out. And that's how I feel about this resident. But that resident, as I said before, we're not going to plant Calvary Chapel Silverdale Seebeck. But what if they went to Seebeck? What if they established relationships? And what if they were there? And then you happened to live out in Seebeck. And they said, hey, Pete, I know you and your family, you live out there. And would you want to launch with us? And I would love to see you greet people at the door. Really? Me? Yes, sign us up. And then I say, hey, Pete, I'm going to go plant with them. And then I'm going to have this really sad reaction, but really happy at the same time. It's amazing as this progression and as these things go that we're going to give them access to who we are and our giftings. And if the Lord leads us, we're going to celebrate that. And if the Lord says, no, you're going to stay here in Silverdale, we're going to celebrate that too. The idea is that we're just open to the moving of God into our community to see the gospel go out. And here's the thing. Here's the exciting thing. We commit to a resident for a year or two, and then they go launch, right? So after 2 years, there's potentially two churches. How fascinating, how phenomenal, how wonderful is that? Well, what if they take on a resident as well, and they launch, it's a weird term, but they call it launching pregnant. They're going to launch with a church planter there as well. Then, after potentially 4 years, we've launched another church because we had another resident come in, and then their resident, they launched a church. So after 4 years, there are four churches. What? On mission. Jesus is the center. Gospel going out. And then, oh, hold on, it gets better because time doesn't stop. A year later or two, boom, look what happens. 8 churches in 3 to 6 years. Now, this is totally ideal, but let me tell you, this is not a stretch. The only thing that limits us is leaders. But here, we see that in six years, it is quite possible that 3 churches, but then not only that, but that church, that first one then gets to plant 2 more in those 6 years. And then they plant 1 more in that 6th year. And it just continues and it exponentially grows. And think about that in relationship. In relationship, walking with one another, encouraging one another. And again, we're not talking about shifting church services. It's seeing mission come out of community and being there and reaching and connecting with people. And I don't have time. But much of the conversation sometimes comes to, don't we have enough churches? And my answer to that is no, we don't. But I understand when we think about shifting rows and seats, that how frustrating that can be. But the reality is even if 10% of the 176,000 that have no religious affiliation at all, even if 10%, 17,000 of them came to know the Lord, over the next 10 years, there is not enough place to put people. There aren't enough buildings. There's not enough space here. I mean, I know we can look around and go, well, there's chair there and chair there and chair there. But we put 50 more people. If you were here just the other week, Christmas. Was it Christmas time? We had like 170 people. It was ridiculous. It's tight. But that's it. And so, church, what I'm saying is that it doesn't have to be about us. It doesn't have to be about the church down the road. But we propel others forward. We propel the gifting of others as they come, that we might see the church of Jesus flourish, because it's all about him. It's not about me. I'm going to die. Right? You're going to... I know, I don't want to get super morbid. You're like, come on, Pete. We're coming to church to be built up. But the reality is that it doesn't stop with us, and we get to be that catalyst. We get to be the ones that are encouraging others to go further and farther than we've ever been. And isn't that the essence of Jesus? Why do you marvel? For those who come after me will do even greater works. This is Jesus. And so this is his heart. I just want to end with this. Again, Matthew chapter 9, just to remind us, when he saw the crowds, this is Jesus. He had compassion for them. He didn't berate them. He didn't talk little of them. He didn't say, why haven't you tried harder? Because they were harassed. They were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And when he says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. And church, this is you and this is me. We're to pray for one another. And that right where we are, that this is what the Lord wants to do. So would you pray with me? Would you walk with us and continue to speak into this as we want to see this develop? We want to continue to see depth and richness and breadth even in our own lives. And that's the point of the discipleship experience. But we don't want it just to be here. We know that the gospel needs to go out and that people need hope. And we believe the best way to do that is together, but launching things that are completely independent of us, other than relationship, other than the gospel, that unites us and draws us and creates mission and unity as Jesus prayed for us, and that the gospel might go out and that it might transform our community. Amen? This is what we want to see happen. We hope to launch the residency, the recruitment phase in spring, beginning of summer, and Lord willing, maybe even take on a resident in the fall. So we'll see what happens. But if you would stand with me, let's pray, and we'll ask the Lord to lead us from here. Father, we thank you for your word, that it is that lamp that gives us direction and insight. And Lord, there are times when even it's before us, but yet it isn't clear, it doesn't quite make sense. Lord, would you bring clarity? We thank you that you are not the author of confusion, but what you do is good, what you do is right, and we trust you. Lord, the plans of a man are of his own heart, your word tells us, but it's you, Lord, who direct our footsteps. Let us not lean on our own understanding, but acknowledge you in all of our ways, and Lord, you promise to make our path straight. You said to pursue that narrow road that is less traveled, and the broad road is that way to destruction. So Lord, we don't want to go the way that everybody else is going. But we want to give sacrificially. We want to live sacrificially. We want to offer our lives up as a living sacrifice, that which is reasonable, that which is well-pleasing, that you would be glorified, that you would use us to bring to bear the weight of your glory upon those around us, that they would taste and see that the Lord is good and blessed is the one who trusts in him. Lord, may we not keep this to ourselves, but may we look for those avenues and those ways to spread hope, to spread joy, to give love, to create peace. Lord, lead us. Would you fill us afresh and anew with the power of your Holy Spirit, that he might fall upon us, that we would have the ability to move out in strength and in victory for your purpose. We love you, Lord. Lead us as a church. Lead us, guide us, speak to us. Lord, may we figure out where we fit and what our role is. And may you do above and beyond all that we can ask or think. We love you, Lord. So grateful for what you're doing. We bless you. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen.